As some of or most of you will know, I'm a Methodist minister, but based in Cottenham, working with the community centre and the coffee shop, particularly with young families, young adults. But one of the things as a Methodist, which I've learnt about over the last few years, I haven't been a Methodist my whole life, is that a big part of the Methodist year is in the early start of part of January. Usually, they involved in what they call a covenant service or a covenant prayer, is said. And this is something like, I understand you are having a dedication or rededication service next week, which gives you the opportunity to recommit yourself to God again at the start of a new year. And the Methodist covenant service and covenant prayer is something similar to that. And it basically involves God's people, God's Methodist people, and people from other traditions often coming together and really making promises and saying prayers to God again at the start of a new year about giving their life into His hands once more, about recommitting and rededicating ourselves to God's service and to God's purposes. And we're going to be thinking a bit about that service today. We're not going to do the service, but we're going to think a bit about it, particularly the prayer, which we'll have up shortly, but not just yet. The prayer, which is at the centre of this service. And we've already heard today from the scriptures some scriptures which remind us that we believe and we follow a God who makes covenants with His people. We have those covenants that He initially made with Moses and His people in the desert. We've heard from Jeremiah this morning that amazing promise of a new covenant for all people proclaimed by Jeremiah. We go into this amazing promise that Jesus made in John's Gospel that if we remain in Him, He will remain in us. A covenant, a promise. And we've also heard from Romans the challenge laid down by Paul, which said, live a radical life. Live a life of living sacrifice to God. Live a life that changes both you and changes the world around you. So this Methodist covenant prayer, which puts itself in the kind of the lineage, in the line of those kind of covenants, of those kind of serious commitments between God's people and God, between God and God's people, it's a serious prayer which we pray as individual people, just as we do with any prayer, but that we can pray as part of a community of believers. And the prayer says this, if we can have it up on the screen now. I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. Exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Pretty serious stuff. And I find myself always thinking, I'm praying these things, but I'm kind of meaning the positive. So I'm hoping to be employed, exalted, full, have all things, and all the things on that kind of. I guess in the same way in wedding ceremonies, when you pray, when you are committing to one another in sickness and in health, you're really hoping for the health. But it's not always that way. And yet we have the opportunity to pray this prayer. We have the opportunity, as many of us do in different church traditions, to commit ourselves to God and say, I really will commit myself to you, whatever happens. I will be employed for you or laid aside for you. I will be exalted for you or brought low for you. And this is serious stuff. Serious stuff. And this kind of praying and this kind of commitment is one of those examples which the Methodist Church and other churches would refer to as a means of grace. Simply put, these are ways which enable us as God's people to abide in Christ, to remain in Jesus. As John's Gospel has already encouraged us, remain in me as I remain in you. We're encouraged to remain in God's love. And by praying such prayers as this, we are able to encounter the living God. Of course, we all know other ways that we can do this too, other means of grace, through prayer and meditation, through the study of Scripture, through fasting, through fellowship with one another, through Holy Communion and other ways. And of course, we may all have our own idiosyncratic individual ways that we find are helpful to connect with God and to encounter God. It might be that we, as we clean our houses, that acts as a prayer, or as we wash the car. It might be as we play a sport or go running. It might be through art or through music or through film or theatre. There might be all kinds of different ways that we find enrich us and connect us with God that enable us to remain more fully in Him. And of course, as I said to the kids earlier on, these kind of things aren't supposed to be, and I think we often get this the wrong way around, they're not supposed to be some slightly scary divine to-do list. They're not supposed to be a tiresome, heavy list of obligations, a way that we can find week in, week out, year in, year out, to beat ourselves up about what we've failed to do as Christians. I haven't prayed enough today. Oh, I didn't read my Bible this week. Oh, I haven't taken communion for 3 months. Or whatever it might be that we beat ourselves up and bog ourselves down with. That's not what it's about. God wants us to remain in Him, not so He can tell us off, but so that we can live a life of fullness and richness, that we can bear fruit and be the people He created and wants us to be. The covenant service and this covenant prayer, which is serious words, is something that the Methodist Church takes part in, but also regularly other churches do as well. And as I said, I've come to it fairly new over the last few years as a fairly new Methodist, and it's become this incredibly powerful way at the start of a year, or at other times during the year as well, of connecting with God, considering again who God is and who I am in relation to Him. It offers us a profound way of abiding in Christ as Christ abides in us. Prayers such as this offer us a way of deepening and developing our faith as individuals and as a community. It's scary. 2 years ago, I prayed that prayer about 2 days before I found out where the Methodist Church were going to be sending me and my family. So to pray those prayers, is not knowing what your future holds, it can be quite scary and quite powerful. And a year ago, last January, I prayed the prayer just weeks before my daughter was born. And again, as you pray these things, and as you just don't know what's coming, you don't know what the year holds. And 2010 and 2011 have been some of the greatest years of my life. They've had much joy and much goodness, but they've also included much suffering for myself and for my family. And I'm sure that's the case for you and those that you know as well. And yet here we all are, God's people, faithfully gathered together at the start of 2012, and we're ready and we're willing and we're perhaps a little bit nervous about what it might mean to give ourselves to God again, to give ourselves into God's hands again, to give ourselves up to God's purposes again. Because the covenant prayer is a big prayer. It's a big commitment. And as you come to your rededication service next week and have a chance again to think, what is it I'm rededicating myself to? Who is it I'm giving myself to? Who is this God that we follow? Which is scary enough on one hand, but then on the other hand, what might God be calling me to? What might God have in store for me? What might God have for me and for those that I love? And of course, we believe that it's a mixture of all kinds of things. It's a rich and joyous thing to be in fellowship with God. And we would all have testimony to what that means to us. We would all have testimonies to the fact of the depth of God's love for us, of the depth of that relationship with God, about what it means and the fullness that life that comes with that. But I'm sure each of us, in our own way, can also testify to those ways in which we feel that we have suffered in the way we've followed God, that God has called us to hard things, that God has called us to things that have seemed too much, that we've suffered and yet we've known God with us. We've suffered and yet sometimes we don't even know that God is with us. Maybe that is part of our suffering, that we feel so disconnected from God that we can't even believe that He's with us anymore. But we know we come back to the heart of our faith, and we believe, and we stand here again today, and we sit here again today, and we say, as we remain in God, God remains in us. And so we can pray these prayers, and again, I'm not going to get us all to do that together today, although I'll give you copies of it to take away. We can pray this prayer confident that whatever happens, God is with us this year. Whatever hardship our families and ourselves go through, God is with us today and tomorrow and the day after and the day after that. And of course, God is there in the celebrations and the good things and the riches and the joys that He brings as well. So as this new year gets steadily underway, as we come to terms with our New Year's resolutions, but also to what God might be calling us to, be encouraged to remain in Him as He remains in you. Be encouraged to rededicate yourself to prayer, to the study of the Scriptures, to all those things that you know enrich you in your relationships with God. But don't beat yourself up about it when you get it wrong. Don't get bogged down in thinking, oh no, I haven't done it, and think that's the end of it. God is eternally there for you. God is eternally there for me. God keeps on loving us. God keeps on loving us. I'm going to play a song now, which is, it's a Bob Dylan song, but it's recorded, it was part of a film that they made about him a few years ago called I'm Not There, which is a bizarre film with all different characters playing him. This is not important, but it's brilliant. And this was a song, this is a cover version of one of Bob Dylan's songs. It was kind of during a time when he was a born-again Christian and very, very passionate about his faith. And it's simply called Pressing On, and it's about that walking on with God, stepping on with God, keep on going no matter what happens. And I thought that might be a helpful way for us to kind of meditate on some of the things we've been talking about today and thinking about today. That God will be with us and we will walk on with God no matter what happens. So we're going to have that on. It's maybe 3 or 4 minutes, so just relax, sit in, enjoy the tune if it's your sort of thing, dwell on the words, say your own prayers, but yeah, take that time to be with God, know God's presence, know God's love, and to remember that this year again we walk on, we step on, we press on with a God who will always be with us. Thank you, John.